Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, man, you ever shot the hooch? Sam Crenshaw, have you ever shot the hooch? This is breaking news.
Nah. I know some people who did back in the day. You know,
I started once.
Back in the days of the old Chattahoochee raft race that we don't do no more.
I was ready to do it once, and then the person I was with, or the people we were with, one of them got he got drunk during the pregame show. Let's just put it that way. And then we had to shut it down.
Yep.
It's like, no, we're not going out. I'm not trying to end up. It
got a little dangerous.
It did. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9. The game on this Juneteenth. In for the morning shift, we will be here for the Steakhouse, too, the first hour of their show. So thank you, Mike, Bo, and Allie. Have you met Allie yet?
Yeah, man.
We had an event last week about her, and it was, and I think it was her father.
Okay.
And I had a big time with him. In fact, we had a big time with a number of people out there. I learned something on the air here, but I had a big time with. I didn't spend as much time with Andy Bunker as I had have at that event, and it was just fun.
Yeah,
you know, because
that's always.
And
fun.
We talked about this last week. I have never seen a male with better hair, young or old, than Samson McMichael, Randy McMichael's kid. He's got the best hair. They should take Patrick Mahomes out of that commercial, leave Troy Polamalu, and put Samson in. Because he would fit right in there.
Yeah, he would.
Man. So we have a big time there. We have a guest.
Yeah,
and
we do.
He is traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of people, I don't know how much hair Mello got right now, but he is on the road with Mello, his son. This is Terrell Thomas, these Urban Times. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. How you guys doing today?
Hey, we're doing fine here. Hey, we had to, and I apologize here, but don't tell anybody I told you this. We had to reset with the music, so I know you have normal music that you come on with, but we're working on that right now. So you okay with that, right?
Well, the music was actually a little more fitting, as you know, we're being in Florida right now. So it was a little more fitting for today's segment.
All right.
He's on the road.
And I know he ain't shot the hooch.
Yeah, no.
No, he ain't. He's a Philly boy.
Yeah.
He's a Philly boy.
Maybe
all right.
It's a school kill, maybe. It's a school kill, maybe, but not the hooch.
Let's. We'll get to what you're doing down there in Florida in just a second, but as we sit here getting ready for Game 6 tonight, first of all, just your overall thoughts of this series between OKC and Indiana.
The series is...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Been better than I expected. I will say that I feel like we've seen more team power per se than star power. We really haven't had one of those games. When you think of the Michael Jordan legacy games or the Kobe Bryant legacy games in the final, LeBron James legacy games, Steph Curry legacy games in the finals. I haven't seen one of those performances from either guy. I feel like when Shea's been scoring in the upper thirds, it's kind of been quiet. It hasn't been like a big swing. We haven't seen Tyrese Haliburton have one of those games at all. So it hasn't been, in my opinion, one of those individual superstar-powered NBA finals, but it's been entertaining. And I think it's also not only for, like, the casual NBA fan, but for NBA lovers. It just gives us a different finals and a different way to look at the game.
Yep, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Terrell Thomas. He is social. Always find him at Eldorado 2452-2452. I'm going to ask you this question. Everybody looks at who wins the NBA championship and try to adapt to the formula. You know, for a number of times, it was you got to have a big three to do something. You know, this kind of blows that out of the water. You know, but do you want to have a team concept? These two teams remind me more of the Detroit Pistons teams that won the Pistons teams that won the last time
05?
That they won. Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
Larry
this
Brown.
Team reminds me of. You know, everybody's got to come up. Everybody's got to play their role every night. If you can get a team that can do that, you can pull that off without a super mega star player. does this change philosophies as we as we approach the draft of how to construct teams that get you to this point?
I don't think it changes the philosophy as far as that big three or superstar model, because I still do look at both teams as having big threes to a degree. When you look at Shea, you look at J-Dub, you look at Chet on the side of OKC. I look at Tyrese Halliburton. I look at Pascal Siakam. And Miles Turner, I'm just going to give him the respect because he's a vet and the things of which he can do. Is them having a potential big three, now again, not a big three like Wade, Bosh, and LeBron or anything like that, or Steph, Clay, and KD. But I do think it changes the game from the perspective of drafting well and drafting young talent and actually letting that young talent develop. We've even seen that here in our backyard in Atlanta, where I personally feel like the Hawks have drafted pretty well over the last few years, but you have to give those players time to grow and develop together. And I think that's something that Sam Presti has done extremely well in OKC. So I think it may change the philosophy in drafting as far as getting young talent, putting the puzzle pieces together who fit together, and then letting that talent develop.
Let me tell you two something. I got a phone call from Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, and Chauncey Billups to talk about y'all and you not putting them in the superstar category. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying. And Larry Brown coaching them boys.
Yeah.
That was Chauncey Billups in the Hall of Fame.
I realize that.
They
were a bad team.
I'm just
they
saying.
Bad boys.
I'm not saying
teams,
that. They're a good team. They just, the formula for that team was that you had five guys that came out there every night, and they did what they did consistently every night, and that's what got them to the championship rather than leaning on one person. You had Rip Hamilton, but you didn't lean on that dude every night to go out and rescue you and win games for you.
There were times he did, though, but I think that you can make an argument that that team was one of the few teams that you can say the coach was as important as the players on that team. You can say that about some pop teams. But then when, it's kind of hard, but there were times that those guys have said, Pop helped us win this one. I don't know how many other coaches, because listen, you can say what you want about Phil Jackson, but he had Kobe and Shaq and he had Michael and Scott. But Larry Brown and what he did with that team, and because as just what you said, they were a team without a all-time superstar.
Terrell, what we're seeing with this team? And really kind of rolling over from what we saw in March Madness, what made us so excited about March Madness, the total teamwork, the execution, not just crossing the timeline and throwing up a three, like is what we got tired of seeing with the NBA regular season. Once we got to the playoffs, we saw more of this. Yeah, like you cut your floor in half. You got to execute. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that comes down to coaching. And maybe we give these two coaches, both of these teams, a bit more credit.
Yes. I certainly think that the coaching, I don't think people are really familiar yet as well with OKC's coach. He's been a coach of the year already in this league, and we've seen for the past two or three seasons, OKC has been one of the top three teams in the NBA overall, not just the Western Conference and such. And we all know the pedigree in which Rick Carlisle has. So I think, again, it goes to the development of coaches actually coaching these players, building philosophies and strategies in which they want to implement, and having exactly what you just said, the personnel to actually execute those things. So I think we're seeing that live and in living color right now as we head into Game 6.
Terrell Thomas, these Urban Times, joining Sam and Greg on this Juneteenth. We are in for the morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What is going to be your takeaway? If it ends tonight, what's going to be your takeaway from this series?
Well, I'll have two takeaways. One, my first takeaway would be that I was dead wrong because I picked the Pacers in 7. So if the series does end tonight, I'll go ahead and, eat a piece of humble pie because I thought the Pacers were going to find a way to get it done. Now, my takeaway, honestly, will be that my respect factor for Shea and OKC will have risen to a higher degree. I wasn't buying them all year long. And you, I will give you credit because you spoke about them. You said, keep an eye on OKC. No, we're not talking about OKC enough. They're out there in the Western Conference just quietly. I remember you saying that a few times, and I still was kind of like, we'll see. We'll see how it all unfolds with this team being so young once the playoffs come. But I'll have to tip my hat and really see and really say again, like Sam Presti found a way to get it done, bringing the NBA championship to OKC, something that we didn't see Durant, Westbrook, and Harden do, and also building with the possibilities of a dynasty. This team is young enough. I still think their three stars have some room to grow and truly develop in the league. So my takeaway, if it does end tonight, is that I really need to tip my cap and give more respect and love to what's actually taking place in OKC, because we may be watching a dynasty unfold in front of us.
That's if they can keep them in OKC. Remember, we had a bunch of guys there back before, and they took off and all went for money at other places. Let's see how that works.
Yeah.
We count down the draft, you know, this is coming up, and the Hawks, of course, got the 13th and the 22nd pick. The interesting thing happened in Philadelphia. Our guy here from here at McEachern High School, played up at Rutgers, was a no-show for a workout. With Ace Bailey didn't show up in Philly. What are you hearing about that? Because they were looking for him to come there and work out for them. And I know you would know, so that's why I wanted to ask.
Well, you know, it's a double-edged sword right there for me, because I've been paying attention to the kid, and he's a gentleman of which you placed on my radar. I've been paying attention to the young man. I don't want to call him a kid, to Ace Bailey for some time, and then him going up to Rutgers and being even closer to the Philadelphia area. I watched him last season play, and his game reminds me so much of Kevin Durant, but I still see pieces in which he needs to grow and which he can grow. Now, Philly hasn't been the only workout in which he has canceled. There have been a few other teams interested in checking him out, because he has a potential top three, a top five draft pick, and he has not went out for those workouts or to sit and meet with the team. He's someone who I had high on my radar that I was hearing that I wanted the Sixers to look at taking, and that I was hearing that Daryl Morey was really interested in taking, feeling like he could be an immediate impact for the Sixers. So for him not to go, funny situation there. I don't know if that will stop the Sixers, in which if they feel like he's the piece they need, from taking him at three. But I've also been hearing some rumblings that San Antonio is interested at him in two. So he might not even, you know, be around when the Sixers draft. So it was an interesting situation, but I don't think it was just one of those ones where he was, you know, singling out Philly and not going there, because he's canceled a few workouts so far.
I feel sorry for y'all. I mean, the Philly fans, I really do.
Why?
He was talking about Sam Presti a minute ago. Sam Presti is everything Daryl Morey aspires to be and thinks he is, but he ain't.
Well, I'll give you that. I will give you that.
Man, I mean, please.
I will certainly give you that.
All right, man. Hey, Terrell, I'm not going to pile on you. But listen, I'm curious as to, because of your age, Sam and I got you beat by a minute a little bit, and we remember, you know, most all of this when it happened, as it happened. But the sale of the Lakers last night, and the time that the Buss family has owned it, what does that time and the memories that you have of those teams, and just the fact that, you know, the family ownership of sports franchises seems to be waning. We've seen it across not just basketball, but American sports, period.
Yeah, growing up for me, although growing up in Philadelphia, the Lakers were my team. That was I have an uncle who was very big into sports, and he was a Laker fan. You couldn't tell him nothing wrong about the Magic Man. I remember being a young kid and him just chanting about Magic Johnson and his greatness and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then that transition, and watching Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel and Cedric Sabalas. So as I was growing up, although, again, growing up in Philadelphia, the Sixers weren't a team. They were the home team, so I was abrupt to what was going on there. But my uncle was a Laker lover, so that was the team in which I grew up watching. And then as I became a teenager and a young adult and loving Kobe and loving Shaq and watching Derek Fisher and Robert Horry hit big three. So the Lakers have been a part of my sports journey since a kid. So all I've known is the Buss family. And, you know, like, God rest his soul, when Dr. Buss passed away and then his family, his children taking it over, I remember watching that era unfold to where we are now with LeBron James being there. So it is interesting, as you see, because I've thought about the Yankees and Steinbrenner. I've thought about the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. I've thought about, to a degree, even though not as long, I thought about the Mavericks and Cuban, who also has, you know, he's not there no more. But then it was the Lakers and the Buss family. So it is very different, and it does show, you know, I would say you gentlemen have me by a few seconds, you know, maybe not some minutes, but it does show just how much, like, the sports world is growing and just how much money and these big groups and things like that are really taking over in the sports world.
You know what hits me, Sam, and I don't know how you feel about this. There's only, and I'm thinking about this as Terrell was saying this, maybe three if you throw in Mark Cuban, but in my lifetime, there's only been two owners of professional franchises that I wanted to hang out with as a fan. Like, I'd like to go play a round of golf with him or go, you know, to an event they were doing. Bill Veeck was one.
Yep.
Guy just, you know, what he did with the White Sox and putting the shower in the outfield and all of that disco, that was one. And the other one was Dr. Jerry Buss. Because of that what he put in that club he put in for him. Yeah. And everybody wanted to be in there, man. Hey, Jack Nicholson over here, Denzel over here. And you know, those are the only two owners for me I would want to hang out with. I don't know how you feel the same way. I met Ted, but I mean, hanging out with Ted and meeting Ted, two different things.
Yeah. Hanging out with Ted, you know,
depending on what years you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Some people tell you there was some interesting times, entertaining times.
What are you doing down in Florida with Mello, my man?
Well, Mello's actually sitting here with me now. We got our mornings are early out here, and he's elevated the travel ball. And I was telling you guys that his mom and sister were real adamant about a coach, a gentleman named Coach Shaw. Stalock played softball with his daughter at Westlake, and that they felt like, you know, I need to check this coach out. He may be able to help Mello's game evolve because he seemed kind of stagnant. He was very, very good in his 7 to 8 U. He needed a challenge. And now we're playing in a perfect, it's called Perfect Game. It's a big United States tournament for different levels from about 6 U to 15 U.
Yep.
And now our team, the Georgia Lookouts, we're in the World Series. So it's been a week of fun today. Today is going to be about a cool 88 degrees, and we have about 3 games today. So
yeah,
it's going to be a
3 games.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The way these young guys get it in is about 2 or 3 games a day. So far, they've had 2 games every day, 2 games Tuesday, 2 games Wednesday, and we'll have about 3 games a day. And we get to the final round of the World Series. It'll be the championship game tomorrow afternoon. So the Georgia Lookouts, they're, we're going to call them the Young Braves. You know, I know how the Braves put on for Georgia. These young guys are down here putting on for Georgia, and they're putting on a show. It's been great to see these young guys prevail, and parents are asking, man, where are you guys from? We're from Georgia. So.
How old is Mello again?
Represent.
How old is Mello again?
Mello is 8, and this is a thing that's dope as well. His 10U ball, 10U and 9U. He's by far, he's the youngest young man on the team.
Okay.
Most of his teammates are 10 years old or 9 years old. He's coming along. So even watching him get the respect from his teammates and his teammates' parents as being the young gun is pretty cool. He took a hard pitch yesterday to the stomach, and he just walked it off. They were talking, okay, Mello.
All right, listen. All right.
He's tough.
All right, take it easy here. You start. Hey, take it easy. You're starting to sound like Daddy Ball. All right? Hey, listen, man. Sam, you got to remember what it's like to be 8 years old.
Oh, yeah, now.
You leave the house at 7 in the morning, you don't have to come back till 7 at night.
Absolutely.
And still not tired.
No.
So, you guys have fun down there. Tell Mello his uncle said hello and travel back safely. And we'll talk to you next week, Terrell.
Have fun down there.
Thanks, man. Thank y'all very much. Have a great week.
There you go. Terrell Thomas, C's Urban Times there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.